Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. They're up early at the White House getting out word about what the administration calls the largest single-day act of clemency in modern history. The president will commute the sentences of about 1,500 people, many of them placed on home confinement during the pandemic. 39 were serving sentences for nonviolent crimes like marijuana possession. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
President Biden has been under pressure from advocacy groups to issue pardons before Donald Trump takes office. Biden is also weighing issuing preemptive pardons to those who investigated Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election and are now facing possible retribution.
Breaking news from the Middle East. An American has been freed from detention in Syria. Vicki Barker is at the foreign desk.
A man identifying himself as Missouri native Travis Timmerman has been found on the outskirts of Damascus. He told CBS's Elizabeth Palmer he'd been detained when entering Syria without permission 7 months ago. He says he was not maltreated in prison and simply walked out when the doors opened after the Assad regime fell.
Here in the U.S., FBI Director Christopher Wray is bowing to pressure from the man who appointed him 7 years ago and resigning early. CBS's Torian Small.
Trump soured on Wray after several FBI-led investigations, looking at ties to Russia, efforts to overturn the 2020 elections, and the 2022 raid of Mar-a-Lago during the classified documents investigation.
In a social media post, Mr. Trump calls Wray's resignation a great day for America. Fire crews in Malibu, California are bracing for a shift in strong Santa Ana winds, driving flames that have burned houses and forced thousands of people to evacuate. Others are staying put. CBS Los Angeles, Jasmine Veal.
Many of the neighbors protecting neighbors out here, some neighbors and residents actually chose to stay. They came prepared over the years. They have gathered together their own fire hoses. They have their water pumps, and they actually protected their home and others as they chose to ignore the evacuation orders.
This is a big day for believers south of the border.
Millions walk days from across Mexico to pay homage to La Guadalupana, or Virgin of Guadalupe. Thousands camp in tents near her shrine. The faithful believe this darker-skinned Virgin Mary appeared to an indigenous man nearly 500 years ago. Guadalupe is also worshipped by Latinos across the U.S. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
S&P futures are down 10, Dow futures off 64. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Packers' Luke Musgrave returns. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers tight end Luke Musgrave is back at practice after injuring his left ankle against the Vikings late September and finally having surgery about 2 weeks later.
I definitely knew that I hurt it, but we didn't know that it probably needed surgery until after the Rams week.
How's your body feeling now?
Feeling good. Still getting back into it. Still working into the ankle, but body feels good. Been in the weight room a lot, so it's been really good.
Some good news for the Badgers football team. Wide receiver Trek Kekahuna changed his mind last night and decided to stay at Wisconsin, but both quarterbacks, Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke, have entered the transfer portal. Baseball, the Brewers added two minor league pitchers, Grant Wolfram from the Rangers and Connor Thomas from the Cardinals. Brewers GM Matt Arnold at the winter baseball meetings in Dallas.
We're excited about having Freddie Peralta at the top of our rotation. We had guys like Tobias Myers step up. Really happy with Aaron Civale at the end of last season. There are a lot of different options there. I think we'd certainly be open to adding another starter as well.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You might think Americans don't work as hard as they used to, but that is not true at all when it comes to TV watching. Tube viewing was up 5% overall for the month of November, but that does not include Thanksgiving, which would have driven the numbers up even higher. According to Nielsen, the reason for the increased viewing was the election, World Series, and the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul snoozefest. A Nielsen pie graph shows broadcast networks with 23.7% of viewers. Streaming services accounted for 41.5%, which is up 1% from the previous month. Cable accounted for 25% of TV watching. In the category of other, on the graph, it showed 9.7%. I'm guessing those are people who just leave the TV on and stare at the Roku home screen indecisively. Speaking of streaming, Netflix really hit a home run last month with the Tyson-Paul fight, even though it left viewers watching mostly a rotating buffering ball. Netflix's The Lincoln Lawyer was the most viewed streamer for the month with 3.9 billion views. Well done, couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cold, but not as windy today. Mostly sunny with a high between 5 and 10 this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the single digits below zero. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 18 with some light freezing rain and snow by Friday night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special edition of the show. You know how fascism creeps in? On little cat's feet. Matt Flynn in the guest host chair. Join him.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, December 12th. Nice to have you along. You can join the program anytime by phone at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can text us at that number or use the Civic Media app as well. I'm tap dancing right now. I don't want to have to put these numbers back up on screen for our social media viewers or read them for our fine radio listeners. But here they come. Well, you know what? If I have to read these numbers, then meteorologist Brittany Merlot is going to suffer along with me right now.
It is, all right.
It's 9 below here in Chippewa Falls. The wind chill is 25 below. Why are you giving me a fist pump over there? You're happy about this.
I am. We're Wisconsin strong. This is when we make headlines and we get to brag about who is the coldest town. Like I see right now, Hayward, 14 below on your list.
Yep.
Yeah, bragging rights.
I changed my mind, Pat. Ridicule her. Just ridicule her.
Oh, my God. Minus 9. La Crosse, 5 below. Amory, 11 below. Wisconsin Rapids, minus 8. Green Bay, 2 below. Madison, 1 below. Waukesha, it's now 4 degrees below zero. And still tropical at Radio Park in Racine, where it is 2 above. It's gonna be all right. Woo! Yeah. All right. Well, while he puts on some more of the SPF zero over there, why don't you tell us how long is this deep freeze going to last?
Oh, it's going to be here all day today. So we've still got wind chills that are much brutal than our actual temperatures. Those winds are still whipping at 15 to 25 miles per hour, mainly in the Fox Valley and along the lakeshore. So it's feeling anywhere from 15 below to 35 below. And right now, Rhinelander's feeling it the worst. Same thing into Wausau, the Fox Valley, and Milwaukee. So those winds will slowly ease throughout the afternoon. That's going to ease up the wind chills and what it feels like to us. But those temperatures aren't going anywhere. In fact, highs today will stay in the single digits for a majority of us. It looks like you could stay below zero into northwest Wisconsin all day today. And then, of course, further south towards the state line, you could hit double digits near a high of 10. That's it. Just 10 degrees will be the warmest in the entire state. So we fall back sub-zero overnight tonight, all of us back below zero. But then tomorrow, the winds shift out of the south. They start to get a little feisty and they warm us up to the teens to low 20s. It'll be sunny both today and tomorrow, so it'll look pretty. It just won't feel pretty. And then we start to really warm up over the weekend, but that's also when a big, messy system is headed our way Saturday, where we're talking about rain, ice accumulations, and snow accumulations as well. Wisconsin's going to get hit hard with that one.
Ooh, you're just all full of winter for us today, aren't you?
This week is wild. I'm sorry, Pat.
Alicia writes in, ew, the machine I use for work was frozen by the time I got to Marinette. So I hope that gets better for you, Alicia. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and cold, 8 below with a wind chill of minus 24. Busy plowing snow yesterday around Tigerton, only had 3/4 inch of snow total. I want to thank Tommy from St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Tigerton getting some hot chocolate while I was working yesterday. And happy birthday, Greg. I hope you have a great day. And Alicia adds in a happy birthday as well to our own Greg Bach.
Who's happy birthday.
Yeah, 29 again.
Oh, congratulations. Stop it.
Yeah.
You see the warm weather I gave you?
Yeah. I also found a celebrity reading of the weather from one John Candy from the movie Rookie of the Year here. This is for me. This is all for me.
All right.
Oh, that didn't work the way I wanted. He said 2. Never mind. Moving on.
Yeah. Aww.
No. But thank you for the birthday wishes, and thank you for the tropical-esque weather.
Esque.
More, best I could do.
More esque than tropical. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too, guys.
All right, time for the Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win Contest. For it, you're going to need the Civic Media app and use the text button at the bottom of your screen on one of our stations to send this hour's keyword by the end of this hour for your chance to win. This hour's keyword for $100 from somebody chosen at random from among our entries is Mary. M-E-R-R-Y, as in Merry Christmas. Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, as in Merry Christmas, is this hour's keyword. Each hour's keyword is different throughout the course of the day. And then there is a winner chosen randomly. And then 8 grand prize winners will be chosen randomly at the end of the contest to pick up a gift from our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Prizes include a snowblower, a luggage set, an espresso machine, a humidifier, a robot vacuum, Tony keeps calling his, it's his own robot butler, he says. You can have your own private robot butler, or at least one that vacuums. And your next chance to win is at 11 a.m. as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest, a statewide contest among stations all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to Sean Fedaplace from Main Street Alliance. It's been a while since we visited with Sean. And Main Street Alliance is basically the small business alternative to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, because the big corporations, they got millions of bucks. They got high-priced suits that are, you know, patrolling the state capitol to get things done for big business. That's not necessarily the thing that small business needs. Actually, quite often, what small business needs, you know, the real backbone of the Wisconsin economy here, are things that take care of their workers and provide a level playing field for all businesses. And so Sean's going to talk about the need to expand Medicaid and other priorities for the next session of the Wisconsin legislature coming up later this hour. We will talk to Todd Alba as well about what's coming up on his show, which you can hear weekday afternoons here across the Civic Media Radio Network. The Badger women's basketball team was in action last night. They beat Butler 71-64. The Badger women improved to 9-2 on the season. They've got a 4-game winning streak going. The Badger men's basketball team will play Butler coming up on Saturday. And we now know the Milwaukee Bucks will play the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday in Vegas in the semifinals of the NBA's in-season tournament, the Emirates Cup, and the Green Bay Packers play next on Sunday Night Football. Pregame starts at 5 p.m. Sunday on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. Go to civicmedia.us to learn a little more. So one thing that we haven't touched on yet for the next election, which is going to be April 1st in Wisconsin. These are the spring nonpartisan elections. And so local government posts, school boards, but also a state Supreme Court race that we've talked about, an extremely important state Supreme Court race. But we have not really gotten into the other big race on the ballot that day, and that will be for state superintendent of public instruction. The incumbent, Jill Underley, is going to be running for a second term. She's the former superintendent in Pecatonica. But she does have one challenger so far. The filing deadline is, I want to say, January 7th. And so there's still time for any other candidates to file. If there are three candidates or more, then there will be a primary in February to decide which two candidates advance to the April 1st election. And by the way, the same can be said for the state Supreme Court race. Again, right now there's two candidates, but if three or more get in, then that kicks in a February primary. But getting back to the DPI race, the Department of Public Instruction, State Superintendent Underly is now facing a challenge from the superintendent in Sauk Prairie, Jeff Wright, who is getting in the race. And he, too, much like Underly, is a progressive. There is not a conservative candidate in the race for state superintendent, not yet anyway. So you may wonder, well, what's the background on this, on having two progressives running, one challenging the incumbent? A lot of the details I'm going to give you here were first reported by Baylor Spears in the Wisconsin Examiner. Again, cannot strongly recommend enough making the Wisconsin Examiner part of your daily reading along with Up North News. Head to wisconsinexaminer.com to learn more. Baylor Spears put together the story last week on Jeff Wright's decision to challenge Jill Underly. Underly has been a very strong, vocal, and tireless advocate for education in an era where it is being politicized more than ever by people on the far right who are looking to have long been looking to turn public schools and especially teachers into the bad guys. And they've been playing culture wars with our schools, especially geared toward students in the LGBTQ community. And Dr. Underly has been an advocate for them, as well as an advocate for, you know, improved funding from the state. And Jill Underly is endorsed by the Wisconsin Democratic Party, which does not have to endorse in a nonpartisan election, but they chose to because of her advocacy. As for Mr. Wright, on the other hand, Jeff Wright is endorsed by the Wisconsin Education Association Council's Political Action Committee. So the PAC that belongs to WEAC has decided, as the largest teachers union in the state, that they are going to back Jeff Wright in this race. So you've got a WEAC-backed candidate and a Democratic Party-backed candidate at this point. And the gist of the differences appears to be in not Dr. Underly's advocacy for education, but more of the inner workings and whether there's enough inclusiveness, including folks from the teachers unions, including folks from the state school district administrators group and other interests. It's about communication. It's about, I guess, teamwork might be some way to put it. Either one, Wright or Underly, talk about, you know, just continuing the fight for improved state funding. And let me sidetrack just a moment before I come back to the difference between the two candidates and talk about that. Everybody's getting their property tax bills this week, and they're seeing a lot of money there under the school district line. A lot of that money never went to schools. It's property tax relief, but Republicans called it a school levy tax credit, even though it doesn't benefit schools one bit. My old station, WEAU TV in Eau Claire at WEAU.com, has a good story up there put up by Kim Leadholm about the tax levies going up. And while some people are just doing stories that focus on the school districts, others like this one rightly point to a legislature, a Republican-led legislature that's been derelict for years on school funding. And they quote Christian Phelps, the representative-elect in the Chippewa Valley. So we'll talk more about the DPI race coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Shh, do you want to hear a secret? You have to keep it between us. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is currently accepting nominations for the WBA Local Broadcast Legends Award. We'd like your help in nominating one of our community's best, Pamela Hilke. Here's where you come in. If you or someone you know is directly affected by the work Pam has done at WFHR over the last 47 years, send an email describing the reasons you want to nominate Pam to Laura Berg, LaurA.Berg at civicmedia.us. Thank you for keeping this our little secret.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
It was 100 years ago today that George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue received its premiere in New York. With Gershwin playing the piano at the time in a concert titled An Experiment in Modern Music. An experiment that seemed to work out pretty well. It's something I never get tired of listening. And not just in the United Airlines commercials. Like, actually, the actual song is worth talking about or worth listening to. Let me make sure as I get back to our story about the race for state superintendent. And I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. Somebody noticed it on the text line as well. That when I talk about the DPI race, and when I talk about the challenger, Sauk Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright, getting supported by WEAC, it was by WEAC's Political Action Committee. That's not the same thing as an endorsement from WEAC, and as Baylor Spears notes in her story in the Wisconsin Examiner, that is part of a much larger process to get the full union endorsement. But clearly what we are seeing are people in WEAC and people in the district administrators' circles that are looking to support a challenger to Jill Underlie in this race. In fact, going on to talk about Jeff Wright here, in the Wisconsin Examiner article, he cites concerns about whether DPI has done enough to recruit and retain educators. He says he's heard, quote, palpable frustration from educators about the change to standardized testing scores. He said he would, if elected, try to minimize partisanship, which might be really tough to do given the environment that we're in. There has been no shortage of efforts by people looking to appeal to Republican lawmakers to say that, you know, supporting education should be a nonpartisan thing. And all that gets them is a poke in the eye back from Republicans and more budget cuts and more culture war restrictions that come onto them. This is a group in the legislature that in the last budget cycle, the Joint Finance Committee did not even invite the Department of Public Instruction to come in and testify. Again, I just want to emphasize that your legislature, your Republican-led legislature, when crafting a budget, does not even do the Department of Public Instruction the courtesy of having them testify about what they would like to see, what they would advocate for. And of course, when Dr. Underlie recently talked about how she'd like to see a lot of that state surplus go toward education, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that it was basically dead on arrival And he hid behind, once again, an old trick of claiming amazing, overwhelming, record-setting support for public schools by the Republican-led legislature, when, in fact, it's now been 16 years since the legislature had its state aid to schools keeping up with inflation. A lot of what you see on your property tax bill is simply pass-through money that did not actually go to benefit any school kids, teachers, or others in the state. But back to the superintendent's race, Jeff Wright says he was encouraged to run by educators and education professionals associations. WEAC spokesperson Christina Bry, however, notes that the Political Action Committee's recommendation is one part of a lengthy endorsement process, and she could not comment on the specifics. Bry did tell the Examiner that Wisconsin educators are looking for strong and bold leadership. She said some of the issues at play include figuring out how to keep teachers and support staff, how to address the workplace environment, how to handle challenging student behaviors, and how to address school funding challenges. But then there are supporters of Jeff Wright, including those in the Democratic Party, such as State Party Chair Ben Wickler, who called Jill Underley a steadfast advocate for students, parents, and schools. Wickler said from fighting to give rural school districts a seat at the table, to expanding mental health services in schools, to ensuring every school and teacher and student has the resources they need to succeed, Dr. Underley is the proven leader we need championing our kids in the Department of Public Instruction. But that Democratic Party endorsement prompted a response from Jeff Wright, who said it shows that party insiders, as he put it, are ignoring the voices of teachers, administrators, and other stakeholders, and in Wright's words, quote, settling for the division and mismanagement that have marked Superintendent Underley's tenure, ignoring failures that are isolating DPI from discussions about the future of Wisconsin's public schools. Again, I would add that it probably has less to do with who the state superintendent is than more of a partisan ideology of what we see in Madison. But again, you see already that there are folks who are, they are public education advocates and progressives, and some of whom have seen what Jill Underley has done these past 4 years and support her for a second term, and others are looking at what she's done and they have decided to support the challenger, Jeff Wright. In both cases, while you're going to have an education advocate, there's obviously some concern in progressive circles that this kind of internal debate could get a little messy. And will that impact turn out on April 1st when there's also a state Supreme Court race that does feature a very clear conservative, Scott Walker's former attorney general, running against a Dane County judge? So there will be so much more to follow on this story over the next couple of months, not the least of which is whether there will be a primary, and whether there is or not, then looking at April 1st and looking at what kind of voter turnout will be there, and local school board races, whether those will impact turnout as well. That's why we had a guest on yesterday talking all about the importance of running for school board, and that if you want to learn more, there is still time till January 6th or 7th to get on the ballot. So you can still run for school board, but you need to make a decision pretty quick here. And you probably should, because chances are there's somebody from either Moms for Liberty or some other far right group that's already thinking about running for seats on your local school board. And you need to make that decision as to who best represents the kids and who best represents education in your hometown. Who's going to be the champion for that? It could be you. And contact your local school district if you'd like to learn more about that. When we come back, we're going to talk to our friend Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance about other priorities for the upcoming legislative session for small business. That's coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Well, if you think cars and trucks are the only things autonomous, think again. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Farm tractors are going down that same route. Details on the way.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
Freeing up your time for the holidays is at the top of our list. When you choose BioVet microbial and nutritional products to keep your livestock out of the sick pen and healthy, you'll enjoy more time with your family this holiday season. Many thanks and warm wishes from our BioVet family to yours. Learn more about how BioVet can save you time and money on your farm by calling 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
Brian Luck, University Extension Ag Engineer, says an autonomous tractor could be in your farm's future. He said every tractor right now, they're working on it.
It's kind of a new budding space for equipment companies. There's a lot of companies out there, as far as I can tell, that are sort of startups that are taking existing machines and converting them to autonomous platforms. There's a lot of safety considerations that have to be considered in that realm as well. And it is headed this way. We're not quite there yet. We're not ready to go fully autonomous in the ag production, at least field crops sort of space. But I'd say within the next year or two, it's a real reality that we could be doing that.
Brian Luck, University Extension Ag Engineer, he said, while the dairy industry has been using robots to help milk cows for decades, the autonomous tractor, a newer entry to the agricultural realm, he says right now it's all motivated by labor shortages.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And the Wisconsin State Fair is continuing to solicit farms and homes from across the state that have been in the same family for 100 or 150 years. The Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Award Program will be held Tuesday, August 5th, in conjunction with the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair. Honorees get complimentary State Fair tickets, an invitation to the awards breakfast, a commemorative photo, a certificate, and an outdoor display sign. Applications are due by Friday, March 1st. More information available on the Wisconsin State Fair website or ours, MidwestFarmReport.com. That's MidwestFarmReport.com. Look for the tab. There's your Wednesday food news update. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cold, but not as windy today. Mostly sunny with a high between 5 and 10 this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the single digits below zero. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 18 with some light freezing rain and snow by Friday night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
Nashville recording artist Becky Schlegel and the High 48s will be performing Sunday, December 15th at 3 p.m. at the Pittsville Auditorium, 5459 Elementary Avenue, Pittsville, Wisconsin. This concert is perfect for the holidays and gets everyone in the spirit with Becky's angelic voice and the smooth bluegrass Christmas melodies of the High 48s. Advanced tickets are available through Eventbrite Online and at Wisconsin Farm Business, downtown Pittsville. Tickets at the door will be $20 for adults, $15 for seniors, and $3 for students. Come sing along to traditional holiday music classics December 15th at the Pittsville Auditorium with Becky Schlegel and the High 48s.
Saluting Vets is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Private William Walters died in France during World War II, a few months before his daughter was born. She finally made the trip to the French village that honored her father.
He showed me where they laid him.
He was here.
And they covered him with flowers. It's just amazing, the care that they gave him.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining us. Also, Paul Noonan to talk all things sports and Aaron Rodgers. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy.
That's Dionne Warwick, one of her many hits. She is 84 years old today. You can catch birthdays and other big events in our daily history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Quick reminder that there's plenty of sports you can hear across the Civic Media Radio Network, including Badger Men's Hockey on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll be playing Michigan coming up tomorrow at 4:30 and Saturday at 5:30. Then the Badger Men's Basketball team will be in action Saturday against Butler. Coverage begins at 12:30 on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. Again, head to civicmedia.us to learn more about that. And don't forget, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Today in the newsletter, there's a story about an Airbnb that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And just some beautiful pictures and links to the listing and how much it would cost you to stay there. And also my column there, touching a bit on what we talked about in the last segment, and that is state education funding and how Republicans give the same message over and over again, and it sinks in with folks whether it's true or not, and how important it is for progressives to be more consistently on message. Again, sign up for the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. But that actually dovetails nicely into what we're talking about here with our friend Sean Fenneplace from Main Street Alliance, because, again, we're going to be plowing some familiar territory here. But it can't be said enough that if you ever get a chance to talk to one of your legislators, especially a Republican one, to tell them about the importance of expanding Medicaid, strengthening Badger Care, and providing more stable, affordable insurance to working families, Wisconsin is on a very short list of states that are missing the ball on us and not getting what they could be getting for their federal tax dollars. And Sean Fenneplace is here to tell us about more of that and other priorities coming up in 2025 for the legislature and for Congress. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Pat?
Good, good. So nice to have you back here. You are one tireless soul doing what you do for Main Street Alliance at different levels. In fact, what is your current title and what all are you doing with the group these days?
Yeah, so I'm the National Campaigns Director. Started focusing purely on Wisconsin and the Midwest as well. The 2023 legislative session in Minnesota was especially fruitful with passage of paid leave. I hope we can get there in our own state in the near term. And so I would say this year, we have a couple states we're focused on. Virginia has elections in 2025, so we'll be doing some work there. There's a couple of states that are in the process of passing paid leave. New Mexico, it looks like they're on the cusp of getting it done. Michigan, there was a session late last night. So just, we're in a lot of different states trying to make a difference. But, Wisconsin always has a very special place in my heart. And now that we're a democracy again, there's a lot of work to do.
Amen to that. When you list all of these things, the progress that's being made in other states, and we talked a bit about this yesterday, that, where Wisconsinites, where their values really are, Americans, where their values really are, when given a chance to fight for those values on an individual basis, they take up the mantle. They approve things like, access to reproductive health care. They support things like gun safety. They support things like hiking the minimum wage and having affordable health care. But they get there because of grassroots work from groups like yours, because you're speaking on behalf of, my goodness, Sean, how many small businesses now?
Yeah, we have about 2,000 members in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And about 30,000 members nationally. And, our members generally are the smallest of the small, a lot of sole proprietors, a lot of folks who have a lot of very creative businesses. And, what's in their interest is not necessarily what's in the same interest of a large business. And so one thing I was really excited about when joining MSA about 4.5 years ago is that, a lot of the state chamber, the NFIBs of the world, they pretended like they had sole authority in terms of the perspective of business, and it's just not true. So we're excited. I mean, we've been active in the building, in the legislature in the past. I do think there's a lot more opportunities this upcoming year than there has been in recent memory. So we're looking forward to taking some of that organization and spending a lot of time in the Capitol this year.
Let's talk about that from a foundational standpoint. Why a group like this is advocating for things that involve, you know, government investing in people as well as in businesses. And the way that I, some would say, oversimplify it is pretty simple. You know, there's two small businesses, you know, right across the street from each other. They're competitors. One wants to be even better to their employees and give them affordable health care and pay minimum wage or more. And the other doesn't, and consequently is at a competitive advantage for, you know, being worse to their employees or to their customers or to the environment. So if you can get those businesses on a level playing field, you can get back to competing widget versus widget. Now, that's the scenario that says that there are some small business owners who are not necessarily benevolent. I'm guessing you probably come at this from a different standpoint, and that is that, you know, all of your small business members would like to make better investments in their workers, and that's something that government has a role to play.
For sure. And, you know, I think it's true. I mean, not all small business owners are share our values, but the folks who are members of MSA do. And I think that the contrast we usually focus on is, I'll use an example. I won't name our member just out of, it's a sensitive relationship, but there's a larger business in Mount Horeb that is across the street from MSA business. And that place, they have a kitchen and they can afford to provide health insurance and paid leave and childcare benefits, and they can pay more than that small business. And so they're at a competitive disadvantage. So there's a role for government to help level the playing field on things like healthcare and childcare and make sure that there's like a floor for wages. And, you know, really that will help to actually increase entrepreneurship and increase small business growth. If somebody's already big, they don't necessarily need as much help, right? The folks who are getting started, about 20% of small businesses fail in the first 2 years, 50% fail in the first 5 years, and we have 20 million new businesses that have been formed since the beginning of the pandemic. It's our job to make sure that those 20 million survive the next 5 years and to make sure they have what they need. So that means having better policy.
Often helps if I take that mute button off, huh? So let's talk about the policy end of it at the state level, specifically about the Medicaid expansion. Medicaid is known as Badger Care here in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is now down to a list of 10, I think it might even be close to, you know, we're getting closer to 9 states that have not accepted federal funds through the Medicaid expansion to strengthen Badger Care to cover more families. Sean, I know you've been banging this drum for a while. You know that the comeback from, you know, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and other Republican leaders is that they've already done a lot to make Medicaid more accessible to Wisconsin workers, but certainly seems like there's room for improvement. So what would be your comeback to that Republican talking point about, you know, that enough has already been done for Medicaid in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so it was actually funny. I try not to make myself the center of attention. Recently, I responded to a tweet or an X, I don't know what they call it now, but like where he made some claims about Medicaid. And I responded with a very good Wisconsin Policy Forum report that came out not that long ago, a month or two ago, that showed that we had spent $2.4 billion extra dollars to have worse coverage and that we're leaving money on the table as well moving forward. And, you know, he claimed that it's socialized medicine. The Republicans, what they did instead of taking the expansion when they should have, was they dumped people into the marketplace. And those folks were eligible for subsidies. Now, does that mean they can get coverage for relatively low cost on the front end? Sure. But there's a deductible. There are out-of-pocket costs. And if you're making $18,000, $19,000, $22,000 a year, you can't afford a several thousand-dollar deductible. So it is dishonest to say that the status quo is adequate. Badger Care, anybody's ever been on it, will tell you it's a very good program. We have a tendency in our state to have really well-run government programs, our pension system is another example of that. And so, you know, what all we're asking is first just to take the money. And frankly, you look at what states have taken it. North Carolina took it. They had a Republican supermajority. Iowa has a Republican governor. They took it. Indiana. I mean, it's literally it's us in the Deep South. Basically, that's
it is. That's just how the map looks. It's us in the Deep South and maybe a couple of red states out in the Mountain West. And there's just something different about the Republican mindset here that says we're not going to do what every other state among us has done. And so it's no wonder that it's something that maybe some folks are tired of hearing about, but it's still, again, such a necessity here. And we're at a competitive disadvantage compared to other states. Let me then turn with our remaining time to the national level, because there's going to be a big debate in Congress on something that affects small businesses. And basically, folks, for shorthand, we'll refer to it as the 2017, you know, Trump tax plan, which, again, was heavily tilted toward the very wealthy. And it was intended to expire, well, in the not too distant future here. And if it just expires on its own, it's going to come with some ramifications. And so it really is important for Congress to look at the 2017, the actual title is the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, and make some decisions on whether to keep some of these cuts, modify some of the cuts, you know, how to structure things overall. So you've got a special event coming up to get people to plug into that discussion.
That's right. So next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central, we're going to have a webinar. We'll be joined by Senator Elizabeth Warren, who's really helping to lead the fight in the Senate on this issue. And, you know, there are major changes that need to happen with the reauthorization. We need to make sure that the IRS remains fully funded. It's important to make sure that we have the revenue and that tax cheats aren't able to get away with just burying the IRS and lawyers and you know, court fees. You have the Affordable Care Act marketplace. There's enhanced subsidies that were put in place during the Biden years. If those expire, somebody making $60,000 a year we'll see a $3,000 increase in their premium costs per year. And there's something called the pass-through deduction, which is sounds really technical. It's just a tax break that small businesses and larger businesses receive. The distributional benefit, though, the people who get the most are the ones who make the most. And that needs to be fixed. The formula needs to focus more on the smaller operators. And so if you want to join us, learn more about the policy and see ways to plug in to put pressure on your members of Congress to make those changes. Just go to mainstreetalliance.org and go to the latest and you'll find the event page there.
And again, that's mainstreetalliance.org. Click on the latest and events and you'll find out more about this Tax Cuts and Job Act small business briefing on the 17th that afternoon. Get yourself all signed up for that. Because again, Sean, the lack of, shall we say, a voice by small business and by ordinary families is essentially tacit approval to continue to keep these things rigged, you know, toward millionaires and billionaires. And there's really, despite people's feelings about the election results, there's really no reason for anybody to stay on the sidelines, is there, with this new Congress?
Yeah, I don't think too many people voted because they want to give more tax breaks to the very wealthy.
Right.
And so it is really important to engage. The House Republicans only have a 2-seat majority once the nominees are confirmed. That's going to make, not that I have a lot of sympathy for Speaker Johnson, but that's going to make it tough for him to pull together a coalition. So there may be times where he needs Democratic votes to get things through. And so we need to keep up the pressure to ensure that we get as good of legislation as we can in these years and hold the Trump administration accountable.
There you go. And again, learn more at mainstreetalliance.org. Sean Fetteplace, nice to connect again. Thanks so much. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Happy holidays.
You bet. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Luke Mathers about some of what you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network right after this. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The spirit of the Cowboys special.
Spirit comes from soul. It's not something that happens to you. It's something that happens in you.
You take pride in yourself. You take pride in your brand.
It's hard work. It's perseverance. It's dedication. And it's preserving what's old and keeping it new.
The spirit of the Cowboys is the last wild free thing left.
Boot Barn. Share the West.
Bring the family down for breakfast with Santa at the Elks Lodge in Wisconsin Rapids. Join them on December 21st from 10 to 1 for a breakfast buffet, Christmas cookies, a hot chocolate bar, and of course, the big guy himself.
Ho, ho, ho!
Make memories this holiday season and enjoy a great meal at the same time. Don't miss Breakfast with Santa, December 21st from 10 to 1 at the Elks Lodge, 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. The Elks Lodge of Wisconsin Rapids wishes everyone a very Merry Christmas.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
In honor of the anniversary of Bob Barker's birth, a little Price is Right for you here as Luke Mathers joins us on this Thursday morning. Let's see, we get a comment from Tony on YouTube. Does Greg get a complimentary grown-up gift for his birthday?
Nope,
Luke,
I work
think
here.
Pick anything off the grown-up gift list, but he certainly does deserve a grown-up gift, wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree, but yeah, nothing off of those 8 random prizes for our winners, this text to win statewide contest.
Which, by the way, the key word is Mary. You have till the end of the hour to text Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, as in Christmas, Merry Christmas. Text that. There'll be a new word at 11, and then another one during Todd Alba's show, and another one during Dom Salvia's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I pay
correct.
Attention.
And
I read
for folks that don't know when those hours are, outside of the 7 a.m. hour here, we've got the 11 a.m. hour, the 1 p.m. hour, and the 4 p.m. hour.
There we go. All right. Like I said, I've been thrown off my game ever since I realized I completely dropped the ball on Greg's birthday here. So I'm. What are you going to do, Greg? Do you get a special dinner? Do you have a favorite restaurant that you know Bridget takes you to?
So it is whatever. Honestly, it's whatever I want to do, but I kind of don't want to do anything. It's so cold outside. That,
yeah,
like,
that's, I told, that is I told the thing my, about December birthdays.
I told my friend this. I said, at the very least, I'm going to sit on my couch, watch TV, probably take a nice long nap, and eat some fun food with Bridget. Or at the absolute best version, I'm going to go buy a brand new car. So one of the two things.
Dun, 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 dun,
but like dun, it's, dun, 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 it's
a new thing, car.
It's the thing. It comes with California emission. And I want to go take a look at this car. It's in Illinois. It's close to the house.
Oh, you're serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I want to get a new car before.
Come on, Pat. You don't
tariffs.
Know about the birthday discounts? You get your free Big Mac at McDonald's and you get a discount on a new car.
I guess.
You just got to flaunt that it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Take a look at my ID. Take a look at my paper ID that I got because I got the new real ID because I'm an adult.
If you see what day today is, yeah. I will please take my birthday discount.
Can I also get a free Grand Slam? Sir, this isn't Denny's. I don't care. It's my birthday. But yeah.
There you go. That's another one. That's
I want to get a new to me car before these tariffs kick in and make everything impossible. So
Do you know, and Sherry's already at work, so she can kill me later that I'm talking about this, but she actually did play the birthday card, no pun intended, on her birthday, the driver's, when she got pulled over one day. And she did not have her license with her. She was, what, 22, 23 years old, 22, I think, at the time. We were newly married, and she gets pulled over, and the officer goes, do you have your license? No, I didn't bring it. Well, when's your birthday? Today.
And it did happen. You might have believed me, officer.
Okay.
Well, he went back to his car. He ran, you know, the information and, you know, gave her a warning. And I'm just like, you know, I could have never pulled that off.
I have one gripe. Can I? It's my birthday. Can I make one old man gripe right now? I'll make it very fast.
Why not? You're an older man as of today, so go for it.
The young people, and I don't like starting sentences with that because it sounds divisive and it sounds rude, but kids who are under the age of 25 have no concept of carrying their ID on them. The amount of it happened last night at the open mic. I will guarantee you for every show open like we do, I will tell at least one kid 25 years or younger of age they can't come into the club because they don't have their ID, and they'll say the exact same thing next. I have a picture on my phone. I'd be like, that is not a valid ID. Oh, I don't have it with me. Do you have a wallet? Yes. Do you have your phone? Yes. Why don't you have your ID? I left it at home. That doesn't make sense. I'm not kidding you, man.
I agree.
It's the only old man stance I take. I had a kid.
That's not even an old man stance. I feel like that's just a good stance as a.
But it makes basic
that you need somebody's IDs. Yeah, to let them in.
But because they're so young and I'm so much older than them, I had a kid once come in. And I said, "Where's your ID?" He turned to his dad. He was 22. Turned to his dad and said, "You didn't tell me I needed my ID." I'm like, "You're an adult.
You're 4 years past being an adult." That's
Well, here, as long as we're picking on the young people.
Yeah,
here,
let's do it.
Let's talk about Dan Schaefer. Dan Schaefer, political editor, the Recombobulation Area, and he puts on Blue Sky here, that Yacht Rock documentary was super fun, even if I still think most of that music sucks, LOL.
What?
And I posted back, I feel attacked, with a gif of somebody attacking youths, because Dan Schaefer is now officially a youth in my book.
I'm younger than Dan Schaefer, so I don't know if I can participate in this old man griping a Dan Schaefer segment.
Well, you can for his feelings on Yacht Rock, okay? That's it. Tony's in there going, hey, this is bananas. Alicia puts in, I had to tell my 20-year-old they need to have their ID on them all the time. Come on.
So,
you know?
Dan is how old, like 35, 34?
Mid-30s.
He'll come around. I think Yacht Rock took me until my late 30s, early 40s to appreciate all of it. Like, there were songs I liked, but appreciating the total sum of the contribution to music, he'll come around.
See, I just got caught up to speed fast because I had to produce Pat Kreitlow on the radio, and therefore
yeah, there was a crash course.
You got to lean into it, folks. Otherwise, it's just too painful.
Yes, it is. You know, it's just submission is always preferred. So I'm glad to have you on my side. Good. Left you all of about 20 seconds to tell us anything new on civic media that we should be listening for, or just pitch the contest again.
I was going to say, we're doing an excellent job with our grown-up giveaway with the text to win contest. So you want to be listening to your favorite civic media stations all throughout the day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. You can be listening to the news talk side of things. You can be listening to the music side of things. Whatever it is, leave civic media on and up for your chance to participate. Ooh, hear that code word and text and to win.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mathers.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Have a great day. Birthday boy Bach is back at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air, where he's going to get much better birthday treatment.
Yay!
See you tomorrow,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
And thanks to all of you for joining us as well for Up North News Radio. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with morning show host and former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show, who has likely seen Jim's pick.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. Jingle those coins all the way down to Gary's Coins in Wisconsin Rapids. Make your holiday even more jolly when you discover a hidden gem in your coin jar. And from everyone at Gary's Coins, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. A CBS News exclusive from Syria. American Travis Timmerman from Urbana, Missouri, is a free man this morning after he says he was detained when he crossed the border into Syria on foot during a spiritual pilgrimage. He's spoken with CBS's Elizabeth Palmer near Damascus. He told her he was never beaten during his 7 months in prison, but...
The only really bad part was that I couldn't go to the bathroom when I wanted to. I was only let out 3 times a day.
Elizabeth Palmer...
On Sunday night, the prison guards vanished, and Monday morning, a group of local men broke down the doors and let everyone go into a brand new Syria whose dictator had been toppled by Islamist fighters.
Timmerman says his prison door was broken down, but two men with AK-47s who used hammers to get him out. Since he left prison, he says his biggest worry has been finding a place to sleep each night. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.